speaker for the day, our former pastor here, Reverend Ben Turner.
When I was asked 2 weeks ago to speak today, I started right then waiting on the Lord to tell me what to say. I hate to interrupt the music. That's the kind I was raised on. And everything and everybody has just been going so good so far. If you're still happy, notify your face, and we'll try to get in the book. It's what I'm doing that got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there. And when we get to heaven, there won't be any preaching there, but there will be singing. And all eternity, they're going to sing a brand new song there. I'll hear that one too, don't you? I want to ask you, if you would, to be much in prayer as we attempt to try to speak. I thought, a lot of times we go into the house of God, we're uplifted in song and in the music. And I learned a long time ago, when people get high, I don't try to take them no higher. Now, if the Holy Ghost wants to move them up, that's great. But I'm not of my own strength going to try to raise anybody any higher than that. But I want to try, by the grace of God today, to say something that a 76-year-old man would say, if it was like toward his last time. And it may well be, but in 2 days from now, I'm going to start doing 77-year-old preaching. I don't know what that's going to sound like. This ain't doing too good now. Our nation today saddens my heart. When I see every crook and turn, every day of my life, I see somebody inviting God to leave this nation again. And I'm afraid that sometime the time's going to come, he's going to accept that invitation and do just that. Our nation was built on the very principles that's taught in God's Word. God said, thou shalt not steal, before the state law said, thou shalt not steal. And people say, you know, well, now they're setting aside all this money to figure out where the earth came from. If they would give me about 30 seconds, I can tell them in a half a second. And the reason for that is this. You say, well, prove it. Well, you prove he didn't. That's what I say. You prove he didn't do it. And when you think about man as you are today, even amidst your afflictions and your hurts and your disappointments that come in this life, the Bible says we are still fearfully and wonderfully made. And there ain't no part of me anywhere that came from a tadpole crawling out of the ocean, climbing up a tree and hanging there a while, and then grow into what I am today. I'm sorry if it offends you. God made in this place in His image and in His likeness. He has given us the task of spreading the gospel, getting everybody that we can into the family of God, and get them prepared for that day when the trump sounds. To help them to be able to say, as they sang, "It is well with my soul." And people, I want to tell you something. Everything this day is working, time and half, full time, double time, everything, every group, organizations of every kind is doing everything they can to promote their belief and what they want. And I'm sorry to say that the Church of the Living God never opens our mouth. We sit still. We go to the house of God. We get all stirred up. And in 2 hours, we're as dead as we were before we went. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. People, I'm going to tell you something. I heard a little boy one time, a man was praying, and he said, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit again." The little boy sitting right beside him said, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaves." Now, maybe we leak. The Bible says the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Psalms 104:16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. And you know how in the wintertime the sap goes down and winter comes to all of us once in a while. But the trees lose their leaves. You go out in the early spring, the wind's blowing, the little trees just squeaking and streaking and popping and tearing off. You know, and if they could talk, they'd say, "You're killing me. Oh, you're hurting me." I could walk up and say, "Hey, I know what's going on to you. I know what's happening to you. I'm going to come down here one of these days and get an apple for you." What do you mean by that? I simply mean this. The Bible says trees don't bear fruit. The branches bear fruit. And when that little twig comes on that tree and it opens up and it turns into a little bloom, and then a kind of a little bud-like, then a little bitty baby apple, and pretty soon there's a full-grown apple hanging on that tree. You go out there, and you say, "See, I told you. Now, dry trees don't bear fruit. Dry branches don't bear fruit. Only those that have sap in them bear fruit." For a lot of times, you know, you step outside in February, March, winds start blowing. Ooh, goodness, I wish it quit. And you walk by and hear them old trees quacking and groaning and popping. You know, they don't know what's going on. They say, "Something's killing me." I know what's going on. You see, in the wintertime, that tree the sap goes down in the ground. And that tree stands there and it gets dry. And the bark clings and sticks to that tree. And then, when spring comes, the sap wants to rise, but it can't because the bark is stuck to the tree. Now, with us today, we can look and we're kind of like that tree. What's God doing? God sent the March wind to break the bark loose on that tree so the sap can rise and the tree can bear fruit. That's my job today. I'm here to bust your bark loose. So you can bear fruit and get the sap flowing again in us, the Spirit of God. You see, we become so dry sometimes. The old outer man clings to us so tight and embraces us so much. With the things and the cares of this world, we get dry. And then God has to send something to break the bark loose. Why? For this reason. The Bible says this. The Bible says that the nation whose God is the Lord is blessed. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I can study the end time. I've read this Bible from cover to cover to cover, and I preached it for 41 years. And I've never found one place yet. Not one. For the West, that's us, is mentioned in the end time. Something or somebody has wiped us out. Now, I cannot help what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. We're not mentioned. The North is mentioned. The South is mentioned. The East is mentioned with an army coming across the Euphrates. With 200 million soldiers to fight against God's people, Israel. We're nowhere there. And I'm going to tell you something today, right now, they're trying to establish a homeland for the Palestinians. Now, they talk about peace over there. Listen, there will never be peace between Israel and the Arabs. In your Bible, I don't care how many maps they draw. I don't care how much plans they make. There will never be a lasting peace. God gave the children of Israel, the Israelites, God gave them all the land from the great river Euphrates to the great sea to the south at the Suez Canal. God gave it to Israel. That's their homeland. God said, I'll bring you back into this homeland. You'll be scattered, but I'll bring you back. 1948 in May, God brought them back. And he said they never will be moved out of that land again. Now, our president says that he's going to see that by year so and so, there is a state established in that land. Now, I don't know everything about Arabs and Jews and Israel and whatever. I don't know everything. I only know what God says in His Word. God says this, that, and it just may come from what's going on right now. Now let me throw this in for a second. They can keep on with this tying bombs on them and killing these Israelites, innocent children. They can keep on doing that till one day Israel is going to get enough of it. And when they get enough of it, and when that war starts and they unleash the force they have, the United States is going to have to support them and stand for them. We still have problems with France, Germany, and Russia. And when they come to help the Arabs, the United States is going to have to. And today, there are 33,000 hydrogen bombs poised and pointing at different cities in this world. 33,000. The majority of them is in the United States and the other parts in Russia. Russia's mentioned in the end time. But she cannot field an army of 200 million people. China is the only nation in the world today that can field an army of 200 million people. And they are east of Israel. And they will come and cross the river Euphrates. The river Euphrates runs through Lebanon, runs through Syria, runs between Iraq and Iran to the Persian Gulf or sea. They're coming that way. Everybody that dislikes the people in the nation now is coming from up there. That direction. That's the main path that they're traveling. And people, I'm going to tell you something. We don't know. Watch Israel. Keep your eye on Israel. Keep your eye on that little nation. When she gets enough, if they said like last week, they're going to annihilate the leader, what's his name? Arafat. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be an uprising and revolution in every Arab country in this world, and that's two-thirds of the nations in this world are Muslims. Or Arabs. You don't know the half of it. It's no wonder the Bible said there's going to come a time when the trumpet sounds and horses are going to start charging out of hell, and a third of the earth is going to be burned up. Guess that! That's the word of God! A third of the people in the world will die. That's the word of God. We dabble around here like we're going to live another 1,000 years, and I'm going to tell you something. You better start thinking some more thoughts. And I'm going to tell you something else. Some of us don't want to meet God the way we're living now, if we are church members. Let me tell you something. The Bible said in Genesis that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And in the 14th verse of that first chapter, the Bible says that he started making some lights. He made the sun to rule the day. He made the moon to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Now, we're going to get to that in just a moment. And I'm going to show you why that if you are a real born-again child of God, you can't sit down and not do something for God. I'm going to prove that to you, and you're going to decide whether or not you know him. And I'm going to do it with this book right here. Now, this thing of thinking because I go to church or because I'm a church member is going to get me there. No, 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 1,000 times no. Nothing but a new birth and born into the family of God is going to get you there. You better know that. You don't think about it now. You've got a lot of years ahead of you. But when you get 76, you think about where you're going. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, in the book of John 5, I believe, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, that they which receive him, believe him, should receive. Romans 8:9, the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You get that? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, what have we got here? Everybody in the United States is throwing God away, wanting him out. And I thank God I don't depend on the school to do my praying for my kids. I like that, but I'm certainly not. I'd hate to have to depend on them for it. I'd hate to have to depend on the time I read the Bible when I walk in the courthouse and see the Ten Commandments. That don't bother me. The world's always hated God. They hate him now. They'll keep on hating him. And I'm going to tell you something. For some reason or another, we're not doing our part for God. Because there's too many rivers not flowing, which brings what? Dry riverbeds. Dry riverbeds. The church. Let me say the membership of the church has got too many dry riverbeds. Too many dead trees. Too many are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Too many have hung their harp on the willow tree. Psalms 137. many has left the spread of the gospel up to somebody else. And I'm going to show you, if you say, you can't keep from it. Let me ask you this question. The week before that, for the last month, or even the year, look back over your life. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong. And why in the world we keep on thinking that I can do this, and I'll ask God to forgive me down the pathway, and everything will be all right. Listen, I remember when David, a man after God's own heart, sought God and prayed for repentance. And the Bible said he didn't find it. But even though he sought it with tears, he cried and he couldn't get through. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going down a pathway that crosses this book and what God's taught you, you better stop and think again. I don't care how enticing it is. I don't care how pleasurable it is. I have to excuse my coughing. I won't say it every time. I'm just an old man. Why? Why does the sports world, why do they draw thousands and hundreds of thousands of fans? How about them dogs yesterday? They had 92,000 people sitting there. You know why? Because they show more than they talk. They show more than they tell. What if the church did that? What if we quit telling it and saying it? And get out in the highways and hedges where some of us have never been. Never. And don't intend to go. I don't know how. You're not even trying to learn. If you wanted to, you would. I want to show you something. Selena, your husband wrote me that and mailed it to me one time. Years, 1989. I'll let you read that. All right. I read to you, or told you, in Genesis 1:14, where the Bible said that the Bible said that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, listen. This Bible is full of types and shadows of things to come. And we have a perfect one here on this. And that is the church, God, the Father. Listen to this. Joseph, now this is Joseph. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me, or bowed down to me. The sun bowed down to me, the moon bowed down to me, and the 11 stars. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Let me go back again. What did he dream? The sun, the moon, and the stars bowed down to me. Now listen, here's your interpretation. What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee? So what? The sun is a tie, it is an energizer. The sun sends power forth from it. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects what the sun shines. You get it now? The moon is a God-made reflector. It reflects what the sun initiates. Now, when the sun initiates light, it hits the moon, and the moon reflects it. The moon can only reflect, get this, the moon can only reflect what the sun initiates. It has no light of its own. It's only a reflector. If there's some way that the sun could initiate purple light, the moon would reflect purple light. You see? It can only respond and reflect what it is, what it's initiated. Now, and then your stars, the brothers. Okay? We find in the Bible that the bridegroom is Christ. God's the energizer. Christ is the energizer. God, three in one. One's three. Is the energizer. What does the church do? What was the church told to do when Jesus commissioned them? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. They're going to be reflectors of what the Son initiates. Now, look at the life of Jesus. And look at your life. We are God-made reflectors. Let me show you what I'm talking about. When the serpent came to Eve and tempted her, how did he do it? And with what did he come at her with? When he came to Eve, what did he try to appeal to get through to her? He appealed to her doubt. A woman doubts more than a man. I'm sorry, ladies, but I mean, that's the Bible. I'm just telling you. A woman doubts more, quicker and easier than a man will. Of course, a man, he's full of pride and all that, procrastination and all that, you know. But if Adam's the man and Eve is the wife or the moon, as long as Adam initiated and Eve reflected, everything was fine. It was truly a paradise. But when Eve took that fruit and gave it to Adam. And he ate it. When the woman started initiating and the man responding, we hadn't got over that yet. That's true. That's right. As long as Adam was doing what he was, he was a natural born, God-made initiator. A woman reflects what's initiated. If I want to know what your wife is like, I'll come and look at you. Yeah. If you want to know what she's like, go to the mirror. Simply because a woman is a reflector and a man is the initiator. Now, let me ask you this. What are you doing now? Let me ask you this question. Is God initiating what you're doing now? Is God initiating what you're doing? Is God initiating what you're going to do tomorrow? Did God initiate what you did last night? You are a natural born responder. And what Jesus initiated, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're not going to reflect a bunch of stuff that Christ didn't initiate. You got it? Oh, he's just preaching. He'd be done in a few minutes. You flat better believe I am, and I will be done in a few minutes. But not until you know this. That every minute and every moment of your life, and you give it an account to God. I know somebody that was going to do something today, and I asked them to come to service today. It was something I'm sure the Holy Ghost wasn't telling them to do. So I had all the plans made, got up this morning, and instead of doing it, they're sitting in the bed. You don't play with God. Listen at me. You don't play with God. You don't play with him. With what you think you're going to do and get forgiven for it down the pathway. Well, people are doing things today that they taught and preached against their own self 6 months ago. But now it's them and it's at their house. So, nothing too bad. Ruining your meal, huh? Let me tell you something. God says in his word, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Is what I'm doing, is what I'm practicing, is the way I walk, the way I think, is that because Christ is inspiring me to do that? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you're saved, you're going to think like him. Sorry about that. It's the truth. If you're saved, you're going to act like him. Yeah, but I've been in this way 20 years. I know some hypocrites that's been in the way longer than that. I know a preacher preached 40-something years and got saved one day. And everybody he baptized wanted to be baptized and again took them all day. Get it? I'm just simply asking this question. Look. This thing is looking fast like it's in wind-up stage. It's looking fast like we're in the home stretch. And I'll tell you what you better not do. you better not jeopardize a relationship with God by some of the things that you're doing, or you're going to do, or you have done, or you're used to doing. Folks, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Gary, let's sing a verse of song. I didn't even preach while I come out here to preach. But I've said enough. If you don't know it by now, then come get saved and you will know it. That's going to be a good idea today. All these things that your future holds and how you're going to do and all these big things, all of that down the line, you better ask you, is Jesus initiating that in you? I tell you what, you may say, I'm going in there in front of all them people. These folks don't care if these mics are down here. We can move them. If we hurt one, we'll buy them some more. We're not able. I wouldn't expect, God will take care of it if he's bringing a soul down here. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason I'm doing this today is because there's somebody in this church that's treading a dangerous path. You better believe me. You better believe me. Somebody in this church needs to start reflecting what you're saved to reflect if you're a child of God. If you're not, you will die, go to church, they'll have your funeral. Some preachers say you're going to heaven. I never heard one yet said that they wasn't. But every one of them didn't, folks. And everybody in this church right here today is not going unless some changes take place and some lies. How do you know? Ask my wife. I've been in a building 2 or 3 days praying and asking God, even this morning, what can I say? And I've said it. Now, if you're too proud, Jesus wasn't too proud to hang on a cross, bleed and die, wear a crown of thorns, a spear thrust in his side. For you. Bible says today is a day of salvation, and he even did it better than that. He said, now's the time. If the Holy Ghost come and tugs your heart, it'd be the smart thing to do if you'd come down here and let us pray. You may be saved already. You may already be saved. But you are, you better come and straighten some things out to get on the straight road again. This thing of doing God as you please, when you please, the way you please. I pray if I want to, I pray if I don't. You'll pray. It may be, Father, send Lazarus and touch my tongue in these flames. God is not going to play with somebody in this church today any longer. That's what I come to say. Gary, let's sing. start charging out of hell. And a third of the earth is going to be burned up. Get that. That's the word of God. A third of the people in the world will die. That's the word of God. We dabble around here like we're going to live another 1,000 years, and I'm going to tell you something. You better start thinking some more thoughts. And I'm going to tell you something else. Some of us don't want to meet God the way we're living now if we are church members. Let me tell you something. Bible said in Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And in the 14th verse of that first chapter, the Bible says that he started making some lights. He made the sun to rule the day. He made the moon to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Now, we're going to get to that in just a moment. And I'm going to show you why that if you are a real born-again child of God, you can't sit down and not do something for God. I'm going to prove that to you, and you're going to decide whether or not you know him. And I'm going to do it with this book right here. Now, this thing of thinking because I go to church or because I'm a church member is going to get me there. No! No! 1,000 times no! Nothing but a new birth and born into the family of God is going to get you there. You better know that. You don't think about it now. You've got a lot of years ahead of you. When you get 76, you think about where you're going. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus said this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, in the book of John 5, I believe, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, that they which receive him, believe him, should receive. Romans 8:9, the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You get that? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, what have we got here? Everybody in the United States is throwing God away, wanting him out, and I thank God I don't depend on the school to do my prayer for my kids. I like that, but I'm certainly not. I'd hate to have to depend on them for it. I'd hate to have to depend on the time I read the Bible when I walk in the courthouse and see the Ten Commandments. That don't bother me. The world's always hated God. They hate him now. They'll keep on hating him. But I'm going to tell you something. for some reason or another, we're not doing our part for God because there's too many rivers not flowing, which brings what? Dry riverbeds. Dry riverbeds. The church. Well, let me say, the membership of the church has got too many dry riverbeds. Too many dead trees. Too many are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Too many have hung their harp on the willow tree. Psalms 137. Too many have left the spread of the gospel up to somebody else. And I'm going to show you, if you say, you can't keep from it. Let me ask you this question. Last week, week before last, the week before that, for the last month, or even the year, look back over your life. You know what's right. And you know what's wrong. And why in the world we keep on thinking that I can do this and I'll ask God to forgive me down the pathway and everything will be all right. Listen, I remember when David, a man after God's own heart, sought God and prayed for repentance. And the Bible said he didn't find it. But even though he sought it with tears, he cried and he couldn't get through. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going down a pathway that crosses this book and what God's taught you, you better stop and think again. I don't care how enticing it is. I don't care how pleasurable it is. Excuse my coughing. I won't say it every time. I'm just an old man. Why does the sports world, why do they draw thousands and hundreds of thousands of fans? How about them dogs yesterday? They had 92,000 people sitting there. You know why? Because they show more than they talk. They show more than they tell. What if the church did that? What if we quit telling it and saying it? Get out in the highways and hedges where some of us have never been. Never. And don't intend to go. I don't know how. You're not even trying to learn. If you wanted to, you would. I want to show you something. Selena, your husband wrote me that and mailed it to me one time. Years, 1989. I'll let you read that. All right. I read to you, or told you, in Genesis 1:14, where the Bible said that the Bible said that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, Listen. This Bible is full of types and shadows of things to come. And we have a perfect one here on this. And that is the church, God, Father. Listen to this. Joseph now. This is Joseph. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me or bowed down to me. The sun bowed down to me, the moon bowed down to me, and the 11 stars. And he told it to his father. And to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, let me go back again. What did he dream? The sun, the moon, and the stars bow down to me. Now listen, here's your interpretation. What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee? So what? The sun is a tie, it is an energizer. The sun sends power forth from it. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects what the sun shines. You get it now? The moon is a God-made reflector. It reflects what the sun initiates. Now, when the sun initiates light, it hits the moon, and the moon reflects it. The moon can only reflect, get this, the moon can only reflect what the sun initiates. It has no light of its own. It's only a reflector. If there's some way that the sun could initiate purple light, the moon would reflect purple light. You see? It can only respond and reflect what it's initiated. Now, and then your stars, the brothers. Okay? We find in the Bible that the bridegroom is Christ. God's the energizer. Well, Christ is the energizer. God, three in one. One's three. Is the energizer. What does the church do? What was the church told to do when Jesus commissioned them? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. They're going to be reflectors. What the sun initiates. Now, look at the life of Jesus. And look at your life. We are God-made reflectors. Let me show you what I'm talking about. When the serpent came to Eve, and tempted her, How did he do it, and with what did he come at her with? When he came to Eve, what did he try to appeal to get through to her? He appealed to her doubt. A woman doubts more than a man. I'm sorry, ladies, but I mean, that's the Bible. I'm just telling you. A woman doubts more, quicker and easier than a man will. Of course, a man, he's full of pride and all procrastination and all that, you know. But, listen, if Adam's the man and Eve is the wife or the moon, as long as Adam initiated and Eve reflected, everything was fine. It was truly a paradise. But when Eve took that fruit and gave it to Adam, and he ate it, when the woman started initiating and the man responding, we hadn't got over that yet. That's true. That's right. As long as Adam was doing what he was, he was a natural born, God-made initiator. A woman reflects what's initiated. If I want to know what your life is like, I'll come and look at you. Yeah. And if you want to know what she's like, go to the mirror. Simply because a woman is a reflector and a man is the initiator. Now, let me ask you this. What are you doing now? Let me ask you this question. Is God initiating what you're doing now? Is God initiating what you're doing? Is God initiating what you're going to do tomorrow? Did God initiate what you did last night? You're a natural born responder. And what Jesus initiated, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're not going to reflect a bunch of stuff that Christ didn't initiate. You got it? Oh, he's just preaching. He'd be done in a few minutes. You flat better believe I am, and I will be done in a few minutes. But not until you know this. That every minute and every moment of your life, and you give it an account to God. I know somebody that was going to do something today, and I asked them to come to service today. It was something I'm sure the Holy Ghost wasn't telling them to do. So I had all the plans made, got up this morning, and instead of doing it, they're sick in the bed. You don't play with God. Listen at me. You don't play with God. You don't play with him. With what you think you're going to do and get forgiven for it down the pathway. Well, people are doing things today that they taught and preached against their own self 6 months ago. But now it's them and it's at their house. So, none too bad. Ruining your meal, huh? Let me tell you something. God says in his word, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. is what I'm doing, is what I'm practicing, is the way I walk, the way I think. Is that because Christ is inspiring me to do that? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you're saved, you're going to think like him. Sorry about that. The truth. If you're saved, you're going to act like him. Yeah, but I've been in this way 20 years. I know some hypocrites that's been in the way longer than that. I know a preacher preached 40-something years and got saved one day. And everybody he baptized wanted to be baptized again. It took them all day. You get it? I'm just simply asking this question. Look, this thing is looking fast like it's in wind-up stage. It's looking fast like we're in the home stretch. And I'll tell you what you better not do. You better not jeopardize a relationship with God by some of the things that you're doing, or you're going to do, or you have done, or you're used to doing. Folks, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Gary, let's sing a verse of a song. I didn't even preach while I come out here to preach. But I've said enough. If you don't know it by now, then come get saved and you will know it. That's going to be a good idea today. All these things that your future holds and how you're going to do and all these big things, all of that down the line, you better ask you, is Jesus initiating that in you? I tell you what, you may say, I'm going in there in front of all them people. These folks don't care if these mics are down here. We can move them. If we hurt one, we'll buy them some more. We're not able. I wouldn't expect, God will take care of it if he's bringing a soul down here. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason I'm doing this today is because there's somebody in this church that's treading a dangerous path. You better believe me. You better believe me. Somebody in this church needs to start reflecting what you're saved to reflect if you're a child of God. If you're not, you'll die, go to church, they'll have your funeral. Some preachers say you're going to heaven. I never heard one yet said that they wasn't. And every one of them didn't, folks. And everybody in this church right here today is not going unless some changes take place and some lies. How do you know? Ask my wife. I've been in a building 2 or 3 days praying and asking God, even this morning, what can I say? And I've said it. Now, if you're too proud, Jesus wasn't too proud to hang on a cross, bleed and die, wear a crown of thorns, a spear thrust in his side. For you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and he even did it better than that. He said, now's the time. If the Holy Ghost come and tugs your heart, It'd be the smart thing to do if you'd come down here and let us pray. You may be saved already. You may already be saved. But if you are, you better come and straighten some things out and get on the straight road again. This thing of doing God as you please, when you please, the way you please. I pray if I want to, I pray if I don't. You'll pray. It may be, Father, send Lazarus and touch my tongue in these flames. God is not going to play with somebody in this church today any longer. That's what I come to say. Very, let's sing.